I'm back, and you know, security while traveling is of the utmost concern to all of us. And today I'm pleased to have a longtime friend and security expert, Mr. Charles Slepian, with us. Good morning, Chick.
Good morning, Roy.
It's nice to have you on board here this morning.
Well, I'm happy to join you.
Security, security, security. We hear a lot about it, experience at airports, on a ship, every trip we go on. But give us your take on how affected it is now, and let's chat a little bit about some of the problems that, in your opinion, need to be addressed, if you will.
You know, security starts with the traveler. There's only so much that can be provided for you by way of protection. And most people get into trouble when they do foolish things. They think because they're on vacation, they can leave their common sense behind.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately, you just cannot do that. And there are lots of resources out there which will keep you up to date on what the possible threats may be at your destination. And there are some rules that you can follow to make your trip that much more pleasurable. There are some airport rules in particular that are very helpful. But let's start with destinations. The State Department offers information on violence that may be taking place overseas, expected riots, demonstrations, strikes, etc., and people ought to be aware of it. It's very easy to get that information. Just go to a website, pull up Department of State, and click on the icon, which is going to lead you to travel advisories, which
right.
is very helpful.
Right.
Corporations can do the same thing. There is such a thing called the Overseas Security Advisory Council, which every corporation can join. And you will get up-to-date information on what is going on in a part of the world where you may be sending some of your people or where you even may maintain an office.
Now, okay. Do you have links to some of this on your site? Because I have it up there now, and I was just...
Well, Department of State is it's dsosac.gov.
Right.
And, you know, if you go to one of the search engines, just put in Department of State, and they're
right.
going to give you...
And it'll come up.
Link. Yeah. Easily enough. For our airports, which is probably uppermost in most people's minds nowadays, we want to know how we can get into an airport, get through the process quickly, get on board our plane, and take off. And I still believe that aviation is the most efficient way and the safest way to travel. The inconveniences that you face, in many instances, can be overcome. Many of us now belong to frequent flyer clubs. They issue status cards, silver medallions and gold medallions. And in many airports around the country now, with that card, you can get on an express line, which will take you through security a lot more quickly than for those who do not have those cards. And for those who don't, you can join registered travelers programs, and the Transportation Security Administration is coming out with something called Secure Traveler in the not-too-distant future. Which will be open to everybody, free of charge, in which you can sign up, give them some information about yourself, and that will also expedite your trip.
And it seems to make a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does, really. In order to get through that airport, and some airports in particular, where you are funneled through a common area serving many, many airlines, it's very important to have some way to expedite your trip.
Yeah, I think they work hard at it, and you know, with an airline background, I can certainly see what the attempt they're making to do this. But something strange happened to me one day because someone had purchased a ticket, some organization that was flying me somewhere. I got to the Sarasota Airport and I was put off to a line to the right where I was the only person. I had a jacket on and I was dressed presentably. And everybody else is going through the other line. And I finally said to the supervisor, I understand the security thing, and I have no objection to that, but I've been standing here for a half hour, and I was the first one here. And she said, well, we just don't have enough people to do that. Well, you know, that's the kind of thing I think that gets people annoyed. Nobody really objects to the security. Certainly we're happy about that. I think it's just the procedural sometimes that gets in the way.
Well, it's done randomly, or at least they say it's done randomly, and the way to avoid being that random selection really is to appear at the screening station with as few items of carry-on as possible, and I am a great advocate of carry-on, by the way.
Right.
Wear shoes that you can slip right out of. If you've got laces on your shoes, they're going to look down, see that, and then want you to take your shoes off, and while you're doing that, you might as well take your belt off and empty your pockets and so on. Or maybe we'll just shuttle you over to another line where we can run a metal detector up and down your body, or expose you to a puffer machine, which is going to blow air at you, and so on. There's a lot of toys in the airport. Yeah.
Interesting. You should bring up the part about the wearers. You're seeing more and more people in sandals and without belts and those sorts of things. It is quite interesting how it's actually changing our traveling trends.
I suppose the question is, what are we really accomplishing by doing that?
Well, that's exactly right.
And that's probably a whole other conversation that we can have over a prolonged period of time. But what they are looking for nowadays is explosives rather than weapons.
Right.
But on that subject, the TSA still has a list of some 68 items which you are prohibited from carrying on your person on board an airplane or in your carry-on. And people ought to have a general sense of what those things are. I know they've cut back on some of the items, and some folks believe now you can carry a knife. Well, you can't. A knife of any length is still prohibited. You can carry tools up to 7 inches in length in case you feel you might want to help the flight crew fix a loose bolt or something on board the plane, but there are folks that want to carry a screwdriver or a wrench or a hammer. Well, not a hammer,
You're
but
right.
a screwdriver and a wrench. And
right.
if it's 7 inches or less in length, you can carry that with you. There is a prohibition against all cigarette lighters, and there is some confusion now because in the past you were permitted to carry the old Zippo, but you couldn't carry something with butane because
right.
of the fuel in it. Well, now you can't carry the Zippo either. So all cigarette lighters are banned. Strike anywhere matches are banned. You can carry up to 2 books of matches and a pack of cigarettes, but you can't smoke, so why bother?
Right, exactly.
Nevertheless, these are the things that you can carry. You can carry hairspray, but you can't carry whipped cream. Now, the reason for the distinction, really, is they both have a propellant. The propellants are flammable, but because a hairspray is a cosmetic and cosmetics are exempt, you can carry hairspray. So some terrorists who may be thinking about setting fire to the airplane will carry hairspray instead of whipped cream. Some of the things make very, very little sense, but if you don't pay attention to them, you can be subject to a fine. And people have gone to the screening station with that little Swiss Army knife, which is only 2 inches of length, in length, and found that they can be fined for even appearing at the screening station with it, even though you didn't know it was a violation of the rules.
So what you're saying is it's not just a matter of confiscation, you can be fined as well.
That's right. And depending on what the item is, you can be fined substantially. Up to $2,500 in some cases. You can even be prosecuted in some cases.
Right.
So the wise traveler, the person who wants to get through quickly and not be hassled, is aware of these things and just don't take them with you. If you must take something on the exempt list, then pack it in a carry-on bag. That does not include firearms, however. If you carry a firearm and you're permitted to do so, if you belong to a gun club and going to a competition, you must always declare a firearm, whether you're trying to carry it on your body, which you will not be permitted to do, or in a packed container. So know the rules. It makes your trip a lot easier. With regard to checked baggage, there has always been a problem with some bags getting lost. Some bags being stolen. Well, the rate of stolen baggage has not gone down, notwithstanding the fact that we have a federal agency handling those bags. Well, what does that mean? It means, really, try to avoid taking your most valuable items with you. Now, I know if you're going on vacation, you want to dress properly. You may really want to dress up. But keep in mind that if you're going to do that, you can lock your bags. At the outset, you were not permitted to lock your bags. You can now if you use an approved locking device, which you can buy at Brookstone's or in a luggage shop or even in some chain drugstores. And TSA has the combination for those locks, and they can open it and search your bag if they desire to do so.
Now, if I can just stop you there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So the TSA has a combo. What about baggage handlers? Because a lot of stuff goes missing.
Well, that's something that we're not supposed to talk about, Roy, but the fact is, yes, some baggage handlers get their hands on those combinations and those pass keys, and they can still get into your bags.
So the best advice is, even though these locks are available and you can do that, in fact, some people use those little plastic strips, you know, that
mm-hmm.
the wire, the ones that you wrap wires in, because they can be clipped. But the best advice, of course, as you said, carry that stuff on, wouldn't you think?
And if you're going to carry things on with you, you know, there are three ways that you can carry something into the cabin of the airplane. One is on your person. Second is the overhead, and third
right.
is under the seat back in front of you.
Right.
And I have a priority list that I think most people want to keep in mind. If you're carrying money or jewelry, carry it on your person, because you're still not going to have control of the bags. If you can't carry it on your person or don't want to, put it in the bag that you put under the seat in front of you, because it's at your feet and
Good
you know
advice.
Where it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you put it in the overhead compartment, you may find that your bag is shifted and it's no longer above you. It could even be in another section of the airplane,
right.
or it can be taken off the airplane and checked if the overheads become too crowded.
Right.
So keep that in mind. The most valuable things should be kept with you at all times, and that includes not only money and jewelry, but medication, passports, other valuable documents that prove who you are, that may have your receipts for hotels and so on, traveler's checks, etc. So keep those things most valuable closest to you. Now, folks have a lot of questions about strange things that they see nowadays in airports, or at least things that weren't there in the past, and maybe we ought to go through that. You get to the airport, and you're waiting for the plane to be boarded, and there are two burly guys that go up to the ticket counter, and somebody nods at them, and they walk on board the plane. Well, they are not the terrorists. They are very often the sky marshals. And sky marshals are not on every flight. They are on those flights which are considered the highest risk. You'll find them on international flights, transcontinental flights, and flights headed for vulnerable destinations in Washington, D.C., New York City, etc. They sit on the plane and they get on first, and there's been some criticism about their getting on first, but they have to. They get
right.
on first because they want to observe the passengers coming on, and they want to observe your carry-on. That's why they're there. They are there really to interdict an attempted hijacking. But on that subject of an attempted hijacking, it is virtually impossible today to hijack an airliner unless the pilot opens the cockpit door. You can't kick it in. It's fortified, it's bulletproof, and as long as he keeps it locked, the plane cannot be commandeered any longer. Now, on the ground, well, that's another issue. Sometimes that cockpit door is still open before the plane departs, or when it is on the taxiway headed for the terminal upon landing. But the sky marshals are there largely to interdict individuals who may be suspicious, or to look over bags that are being carried on. We still have them, and there is no plan to get rid of them. That question has come up from time to time.
So, but, Chick, this is all really good advice, and we're just running out of time here. I'd like to, if you will, maybe we could do this periodically, and we could have some updates and cover this more in depth, because obviously it's a big subject. But for the moment, we've got to run, and I thank you for your information. And Charles Slepian's website is Foreseeable Risk Analysis Center, and it's www.frac.com. And there's a lot of very interesting information on you. Thank you, Chick.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Roy.
Bye for now.
Bye.
I thought that was a really a good session and some really good advice. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Hans Tamamagi, who is going to take us on a Destination Canada adventure. So stay with us.